whatnot.
WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Watch the Today Show, do you? Meredith Vieira.
What did she say now?
She likes the long meat.
Yes.
We're going to talk holiday cooking. Now, do you guys have any traditional meals that you serve at the holidays?
Yeah, like a ham, a little roast beef.
You do ham, really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Spiral cut ham.
And you?
What's that long thing called?
A roast.
It's
tenderloin.
Tenderloin.
That's not what you call it in your house, but it's called a tenderloin.
Quiet. It's a long tenderloin we serve every Christmas. Hey. Anyhow, for your friends and family.
Don and Mike Show.
You two kids.
Good and nasty.
Getting all ramped up about your Meredith Vieira.
Broadcasting from In of Doors, the Don and Mike Show.
I picture her husband just laying there in his wheelchair.
You're just waiting in the wings for Vieira, both of you, aren't you?
I think that's the nickname for him, Tenderloin.
Tenderloin.
Look how he lays there on a platter.
And she just, she does sneak some sexy in there.
Yes, she does.
Even when she doesn't intend it.
Sure does, dear boy.
She's the anti-Curry.
Something was wrong with Willard's teeth this morning.
What?
I swear to God, Will, it looked like something was wrong with his upper plate.
When he was talking about Al Roker's Christmas card?
Yes.
Didn't it make you want to see what it was?
Did you know what I'm talking about? Where
he was having trouble talking today.
There was something, but it was something up top that looked a little
loose,
discolored. I'm not sure whether it was like nothing there or what it was.
You think he left his teeth at home?
I don't know.
He's not back on the sauce, is he?
I love Willard. I really do.
Maybe he had to borrow somebody else's.
It was strange. It just...
Somebody else's teeth.
Borrowed Mac McGarry's teeth.
I was wondering whether anybody else, when they saw his little Smuckers segment today, was drawn to the mouth area because it looked like something wasn't quite normal.
He seemed like he was talking weird, but I didn't see anything visual.
Who watches the Smuckers segment?
I turn it up every day. Unless it's pre-taped.
That is gay.
I got news for you, brother. We're halfway there. I'm very, very curious. I'm very, very curious.
I've watched it ever since he said
I don't watch it for the old people. I watch Willard. I like Willard.
The only way that you and I ever going to get on that feature is if they lowered the age like to 55.
I've watched...
We made it past 40. That's the good news.
I've watched it every day since he said Buzz's name. I haven't missed it since.
Attributes his longevity to atheism and weed.
Hello, that's Don, right? And Mike Show. Hi there.
Hey, Don. Hey, Mike. I love your show.
Thank you very much. What's happening?
Hey, I'll tell you, I could really use that $1,000.
I tell you, a lot of people could.
Bet you could.
Is there any way?
No. We're giving the money away today somehow.
All right. Oh, okay. I'll listen. Thanks.
Okay. Well,
Number one fan.
You won't have a chance of winning, though. No, we'll rig it so you lose.
Absolutely. We'll remember the voice.
Thanks for listening, though.
Yeah. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Happy holidays. Great job with the traffic reports.
Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, what's happening?
Hey, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
Bishop Larson is the Larson of the Sage Ward in Albuquerque, New Mexico. He has a website, LarsonFamily.com.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that would have been helpful if that lady would have had the information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. Hey, you think we should have given her the money?
No, I would never give her the money.
Yeah, no reason for you to be sorry. You just did legwork that if it was a lie, she could have followed up on. And if it wasn't a lie, gosh, it would have been really easy to find out the guy's name.
Exactly.
You just did it, for God's sakes.
Yeah, give me.
You know, that's the interesting thing. Some of the people were calling and saying, hey, don't give her the money. She's lying. She can't get her story straight. And the other people said, I believe she's telling the truth. Well, should we give her the money? No.
No.
I think she was telling the truth.
I do, too.
Yeah,
in a roundabout, in a nice, lazy way.
Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello. You guys need to call her back and tell her you're going to give the money up and send it straight to the church to really piss her off.
Yeah, we would, except we got a problem with the Mormons.
You know, the whole Jesus and the devil being brothers and stuff.
Beautiful church.
You know, it's so funny when they were talking about Mitt Romney today, and I guess Huckabee is the Republican candidate who said,
I heart Huckabee.
Innocently enough, I guess, was being interviewed and asked about Mitt Romney's religion. Uh-huh. And he said, I don't know anything about that religion. Isn't it something about Jesus and the devil being brothers? You know,
nice.
Trying to be really innocent, but torpedoing the guy at the same time. Do you think he really meant that? Yes, he did.
Devouring each other.
Mm-hmm.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show. What's happening? Hi.
Hey, Don and Mike. How you guys doing?
Very
Happy
well.
Christmas.
Same to you, my friend.
that gal, I swear to God, if you'd given her the money, that would have been the biggest bag of crank that her husband would be snorting off of her vagine,
you know,
the same day.
Are you brilliant? Are you brilliant? I was saying to Joe during the break, I swear to Christ, I said to Joe during the break, I bet if we gave her the money, she would go to 25 different CVS's.
Yes.
Because
getting the Sudafed.
Because you got to go, you get it from behind the counter.
Yeah, you have to get the you get the Sudafedrine to put in the meth lab.
I had the same thought. Same thought. There's a guy that I know. Gosh, you know, I don't know if you know him or not, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you don't. He's from my other life, my real life. And he was a guy that we had been in contact with. Guy had been somehow involved in my kid's school a long time ago. And just last night I was talking to somebody. They're like, whatever happened to this guy? Let's just use the name Kevin.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
Somebody said, the guy I'm talking to said, and here's how it came up. Did you ever hear what happened to Kevin?
Right.
And I said, no, I've not heard anything about that guy. And I expected like that. You know, he's flying hot air balloons and in Switzerland or in,
going to the wine country in the south of France, enjoying his freedom.
Kevin. They said, oh, he kicked his whole family out of his house and turned his house into a giant factory for crack. And that's what he's doing right now.
Wow.
And he's making meth. He's got a meth lab.
So it's a meth lab in his house?
He's got a meth lab. Kicked his family out, and it's there in his house, and he's got his own meth lab.
Wow.
Well, they're safer being gone.
Was he into that stuff, do you think, when he was
this guy,
like hanging around the school? Do you think that's how he made his money?
No, this guy was, he's the last guy that I would have pictured taking an aspirin.
Was he a captain of industry kind of guy? Was he one of those guys?
Yeah, he's one of those guys.
Wow, that's weird.
So it's a real fall from grace thing.
Mm-hmm.
He was just talking. It's funny when you mentioned meth lab, and it's just said now, these are just people talking, but it's just said, oh, yeah, that guy Kevin? Oh, yeah, right. Hey, kind of moved out on his family and turned his house into a meth lab.
Well, the way I understand crystal meth, kind of the Nestle's Toll House cookie of drugs.
Apparently.
You know, it's all very homemade.
Yeah.
It's all nice and homemade.
And when
you can make it at home with the family.
Wouldn't it just be easier if the ingredients came like that? Like when you were mentioning the other day when you said you had some Toll House cookies and you mentioned that the container at Costco was that big-ass bucket full.
Yeah, got the bucket where you just scoop out the dough onto the cookie sheet.
For all the meth heads,
yep.
If we just sold it like that in mass quantities.
You sold it in mass quantities, but you sell the kit.
Right.
That's what you would sell at Costco. All the ingredients would be in one box, but you'd still have to manufacture
it.
Like
a mojito kit.
It's a mojito kit.
Absolutely.
It's like the home meth lab.
Yeah, you get it at Kirkland.
Like Toll House cookies.
Kirkland home meth lab. Mm-hmm.
Would it have like, does it have like a still? Do you cook it?
Well, no, I don't know how you make it, but I know
sure.
that.
Sure.
You know what? Here's what it says. You know, everything you need. Well, hold on a second.
I guarantee we're going to get phone calls on how to make it.
I guarantee you Joe's going to run in here.
I was going to say, you don't. This is the magic of this hillbilly heroin. You don't need anything incredibly illegal to make it, right?
No, but doesn't it have like Drano and rat poison?
It's got chemicals in it that are flammable and explosive.
Because
you always hear about those meth labs blowing up.
I was thinking that the packaging could be somewhat like that Hannah Montana thing that I got for my granddaughter. Where you look in real little print and it says doll not enclosed. What if we sold this stuff at Costco and just in real little print said, you know, crack not enclosed?
Well, you know, and you'd also be able to sign up one of the big over-the-counter drug companies in there, like Vicks.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could say, you know, Vicks stay-at-home meth lab.
Benadryl.
You could have Benadryl.
Benadryl has that chemical in it.
It would actually be the companies that manufacture it, like Bayer's.
Oh, the
Bayer's stay-at-home meth lab. Uh-huh. I believe you need liquid chemicals as well.
I believe we go to Indianapolis, Indiana. Eli Lilly. They make pharmaceuticals.
Lilly's stay-at-home meth lab. Uh-huh. And I like stay-at-home because you sell the fact that it's homemade and that you don't have to go to work.
And you get family together, too.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You mentioned Hannah Montana. It would be great if we could get her on board and make it my first meth lab.
My first Hannah Montana meth
lab. Miley Cyrus is just red hot right now.
I think I told you guys, when I worked in Indianapolis, and this was like 1978, like all of my stories, 1978, the station that I worked at was in the outskirts of Indianapolis. So you had to literally...
This is Windy, right?
Yeah, WNDE. You literally had to go by Eli Lilly, L-I-L-Y, big pharmaceutical maker.
Right.
There were... Hello?
Telephone.
It's Eli Lilly calling.
Mike's getting a call.
He got a new ringer.
Who is it, Mike?
Hello? Hey, I'm on the air. I'm on the air. I'm working right now.
He just wants to
check my
with
microphone's
you.
Open right now. Turn. Are you near a radio right now? I mean, there's a little bit of a delay. I'll call you during the commercial break. I left my ringer on, but it's always people that know my schedule that call me and know I'm working now. You can go listen to this now. Thank you. Bye.
Friend?
Yeah, good one.
The best?
Close. Very good. Close very, friend. Very good friend.
Did the meth lab blow up?
It was just somebody saying, hey, ixnay on the ethmay.
Right. Oh, yeah.
You know, that's really because it's, you know, that was actually Carla. No, it wasn't.
I was going to say, her voice has changed a lot since she called, called
Hi,
our
Mike.
House. She called our house the other night.
How are you, Mike?
We could hear him.
So anyway, you would go to work and you'd go past Lilly. And they made
the pharmaceutical company, right?
Yeah. And I swear to God, the disco dentist, Chuck Crane, and I would sit on a fence and get high and drink and watch the cows in the field act like they were screwed up because they were doing something. The cows were drinking
some like spill water coming from the factory.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like the movie A Civil Action, and right. I don't even know what was going on.
You didn't have to call Aaron Brockovich in there or anything like that?
But I remember we would kill an hour or two on a Saturday sitting on a fence.
The cows were fine.
And just
there's nothing wrong with the cows at all.
No,
you guys thought there was.
Right. Oh, plenty of other people saw them as well. Yeah.
Plenty of other people with you.
And there was talk about mutated cows.
Sure. Oh, really?
But every time we went there, the most we saw were cows that appeared to be effed up.
Staggering.
Like there were cows that seemed unsteady?
Yes.
Cool.
That's why it was such great fun.
You're kind of cow tipping.
That is. That must have been a very rural area that you were
in. I mean, it totally was. You know, Indianapolis itself at the time was not a major city. Mm-hmm. And where this place was it Merrifield, Indiana? God, I don't remember, but it was just pastures and
what was the what was the guy's name, the dentist?
Chuck Crane, the disco dentist.
Disco. Was he really a dentist?
Yes, he was going to dental school.
Wow.
Full time, and he was the nighttime disc jockey. And
the disco dentist.
When disco was hot, and his publicity picture, he wore his dental smock.
Uh-huh. That's too good.
There's a lot of good stories about you and Double D, the disco dentist. Who was the guy that would get things started and who would follow with you two? Because I remember one about listeners in a lobby. Like destroying a lobby of a radio station?
Oh, that was he and I, yeah, but that was off the air.
Yeah, but who was the leader when stuff like that would go down, you or him?
Oh, me. He was always a good follower. He was,
the
he
disco
was
a, dentist?
Yeah. Like, well.
Oh, that's when you got a chance to go to the other radio station.
Yes.
You trashed it.
So we were working at one of the two big AM Top 40 stations. It was WIFE, WIFE,
right.
At studios in downtown Indianapolis, and our station, Windy, WNDE, suburban station.
Right.
Did you want to beat wife?
We were killing him.
Good.
I get it. You want to beat your wife. I get it. So it was real heated. You know, AM radio, top 40 battles.
Right? Really had to work hard to find that note in there.
Yeah, he's working in, brother.
So I remember very explicitly, one night, Kiss was in town, and we were going to the arena downtown to see them.
That's the name.
And we were in the car with the guy from the record company, and we were driving down the main street in Indianapolis, down the main drag. And you could see the studio as a wife, just as big as can be, like a department store window. And I said to the record guy, pull the car over. We're going to go in. So we knocked on the door, and the disc jockey, who was playing a record, could see us from the next room and came to the front door and had no idea who we were.
Right.
And we played it so dumb, said, Are you the mother trucker? Or whatever the guy's
right,
name
was. Right, you knew the disc jockey's name.
Yes, I am. God, we love your station. We love can we look around? We saw you through the window. Yeah, come on in.
You sure. Played right to his ego.
So at this point.
But there was no real plan, if I remember, right?
No. At this point, we were in the studio. And we were looking around, and it wasn't like, gee, what formatics can we steal?
Right, right.
We were looking around pretty much saying to each other, they have worse equipment than we do, and this is a really bad station. Meanwhile, the record guy is hiding outside in the car.
Sure.
Because
right.
the he record guy doesn't want this station to know that
right.
that we're there.
But the whole thing that precipitated it was that you were showing off for the record guy, right?
Right. So what happens is, as we're leaving, so we stand in the studio for like two records with the guy, and there's really nothing that can be done. So we say, okay, it was nice. And he says, hey, let yourselves out. I want you to go by on the window of the world. We said, okay, bye-bye. And we leave the studio, and we got to the outer office, and I am such a jackass. I don't know why I did this. I just went over to the wall where they had a gold record on the wall, and I picked it up and broke it over my knee. And then Chuck Crane picked up one and winged it across the room.
And then you ran?
Oh, and then we broke a couple more things.
And then we ran.
And then we ran, and we get in the guy's
car.
Could
the DJ see you doing this?
No. This is what's great. It was set up much like our studios are.
Right.
Except picture over here to your right, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
It's the main street.
Okay,
so
gotcha.
There's
right.
a DJ studio here.
Mm-hmm.
There's a production room where Buzz is.
Right. Yep.
And there's a lobby back where Joe is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the guy from the DJ studio cannot see in front of him.
Right.
So he can only see
out on the street.
So mm-hmm. as far as he knows, he had given us time to work our way through. And we actually stopped and waved at him.
Even with the broken stuff in the...
That's nice.
Yeah, we stopped and waved.
Did you ever hear anything more about that?
Not a word.
No.
Because I'm sure you kept the radio station on, just hoping he might get on there and say, hey, I'd just like to say for those two guys that were here.
No, I mean, I don't think it would have happened in that
right,
day.
Right.
And we got in the car with the record guy who was wearing his shiny ELO disco jacket or whatever it was. And he's like, what are you guys doing? And I said, move, go. We busted up that place.
Major felony taking place.
Vandals.
And the disco dentist, even though he was in dental school, was
he
still
loved
following
it.
Along with all that
he
mischief.
He loved it. I remember we were driving down the road, and he was in the back seat. Mm-hmm. He's leaning between us going, that is the greatest thing I have ever done in my life.
And he never got any names.
No.
Oh, that was great,
no.
though. But at the end of his shift, probably. When he was walking out to that outer lobby to go home.
I'm sure what happened was even before that, the next guy,
right.
the guy that comes on at midnight or whatever.
Hey, man, what happened here?
Right.
What's the deal? I'm here to do my graveyard shift.
Hey, Mother Trucker.
What's going on, Mother Trucker? Somebody broke the gold records and the pencil holder on the secretary's desk. What the hell is going on here?
That is such old DJ rivalry, but
right.
it's great. It really used to
so
be like that.
So dumb.
The rivalries used to be that intense.
Mm-hmm. Hello there. Don and Mike Show. What's happening? Hello.
Hey, we don't have any meth here in Albuquerque.
You don't have any meth at all? Come on now.
You're not looking.
It went out of style.
Hey, listen, just because you're not Sacramento doesn't mean you can't try harder.
That's so last year. It's all peyote now.
Peyote.
Hey, Buzz, when are you moving out there?
Anytime now.
Now, peyote, a little bit more of a natural substance
than
crystal meth, right?
Yeah, but you have to really get it to work, you got to put it in the forbidden place.
Your butt?
I had not heard of that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, when I was a young man, we used to do that.
You mean you have to give yourself a peyote suppository?
Because it goes straight to the bloodstream faster, as you know.
And that gets you around the nausea, right? Is that why you do that?
Look at how excited he is.
Exactly.
Look at how excited he is.
Why else would you put it there? You know, there's got to be
I don't know, Buzz. I'm not sure.
There's got to be a reason.
Get you around the nausea.
I mean,
you've obviously heard of this?
This is the first time I've heard it, but I get now that I've heard it,
Come
I understand why he does it.
Live and let live
right.
is what I say. But if you got to put a suppository up your butt to get off.
Just a mushroom.
Isn't peyote the thing that that they go out to in Natural Born Killers, they take peyote and they have hallucinations.
It's what Tony Soprano had.
Yeah,
right?
Hallucinations. Yeah. That's peyote.
Right.
Peyote, and it's also been in
Buttons.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what the hell is the horror movie? Carol Ann.
Poltergeist.
Poltergeist. It was there's a peyote scene in that, mm-hmm. too, I think. In either one or two. I'm not sure.
Well, either way, send Buzz about a pound of it.
Okay, Gog.
All right. Thank you very much.
Always frustrates me when you've got perfectly good alcohol available in stores. People are going out putting things in their rectums.
Some people do that with alcohol.
In their bottoms. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
With booze?
Yes. In fact,
hey, Don and Mike, how are you today?
A couple of people have died of alcohol.
Hold on, Professor Backwards is giving us a lecture.
Buzz is now going to tell us about people who drink through their butts.
There are guys who have died of alcohol. There one recently, a guy died of alcohol poisoning because his wife gave him his regular alcohol enema. Wow. He became addicted to alcohol enemas.
Oh my God!
And we used to kid Michael Hughes about that. Red wine enema.
Oh, what a horrible way to go.
Well, I don't know.
Is it the same way with, like, coffee enemas that give you the caffeine directly?
Yeah, because anything you put there can be so easily absorbed.
I heard about coffee enemas like 30 years ago.
Right.
That's how they invented the chocolate martini.
God. What about a red dog enema?
Yeah. I'm sure you could do anything that has a substance that gets into the bloodstream, right. You could take as an enema.
Y'all are gross. Mm-hmm. You just think about that for a second. I don't care how bad you want to get high.
Are you including me in that? I'm with you on this.
No, I just wanted to just are everybody listening in general.
I like my enemas with plain warm water.
Saline.
This is where food comes out. Please think about that.
Have you ever had an enema?
Oh, of course, Mike.
I don't think I ever have.
Oh,
what
great.
Time is it?
I don't think I've ever had an enema.
What time did you give me my enema today?
At noon, as always. High noon.
I about 4 hours ago.
Really? Have you ever had one?
High colonic at high noon.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm sure you have.
I've had to have it at least more than once when I had to go in to get the old poop. The
colonoscopy.
The camera.
Colonoscopy.
I
took the stuff that you drink and you flush it out that way. I don't think I've ever had
it. Is it called a sphygmoid oscopy, Buzz?
Yeah.
The one that's not quite as invasive.
Shorter.
But it's plenty invasive as
is
far
that
as.
Is that a laxative?
But I've never had one.
You will take two or three before that.
Really?
Not to change the topic, but have you had a colostomy lately?
I'm going to try it this weekend.
Is that a laxative?
And when I was first diagnosed with the colitis.
Ulcerative colitis.
The first medication that was given to me was in that form.
Really?
It was horrible. Ugh. I'm on pills now. I take them in my mouth.
Suppositories are funny. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Oh, it was an enema.
I know, but everything down there is funny.
Whenever I think suppositories, I always think about Rush Limbaugh.
Uh-huh. Hi, Don and Mike Show. What's happening?
Hi
there.
I have the final word on the mother of the year.
Yeah.
You guys have had great, great lives before, like the guy who wanted to peed in the Listerine bottle. And the game is, if they don't get through to confess to the person, they don't win.
Right.
It doesn't matter if she's lying, tell them the truth. Doesn't matter. She doesn't get any money if she doesn't confess.
Let me ask you a question. Would you have liked to see her get the money even if she got through to somebody?
No, actually, I would. Well, I do actually think she probably did it, but I hated her so much I didn't want her to get it anyway.
Yeah, okay. You felt like everybody else.
Thank you, darling.
Okay.
Okay. Bye now.
Bye. Isn't hating fun?
Hi there. Last word.
Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello. Young Guns. It was great parody seeing that one.
Young Guns with Emilio Estevez?
That's the one with Keeper Sutherland. Did you see the size of that chicken?
Yeah. All right, there's more peyote for you, Mike.
Peyote, yes. And, of course, they took it all in suppository form.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
What it do? I routinely insert things in my Bombays. Last one was a Buzz Burbank. Cut, cut, cut.
Thank you, Doug.
Doug calls so often lately.
Good friend, Doug Trank.
You see, he's got a lot of time on his hands now.
Have you been to Doug's website?
No, I haven't.
Oh, Rob, do you have that thing that I do you even have that address?
I can bring it up. I'm sure.
I have a show business bulletin while he's doing that.
Hold on. Before you get to that, I just have to tell everybody. The Grease Man. Okay, we've tooled on him for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, come on. The guy got a raw deal from CBS.
Sure.
Yeah. Whatever. He's off the radio now. He was on a bunch of brokered Vietnamese stations, and he's off the air now. But he's got these little vignettes on the internet where it's him as if he's still doing a radio show, sitting at his little home studio, looking into the video camera in the computer.
Oh, God.
And he's doing his bits. And he's doing his, like, hey, Johnny Doodad, Doodad. And, I mean, you're seeing him back and forth with the microphone. And I'm telling you, I sent the link to Rob, and I said, please just open it, and I got to hear you. I got to hear you when it clicks on. Because
how'll that do?
There are about 40 of these goddamn things.
So that's what he's doing now.
Yeah, just his little mini bits.
Because he had the radio show that was on a station where he bought time on the stations or something like that.
Right.
And then he went on hiatus from that. That's what I read about it. That's what he had done.
I always thought it was incredibly stupid that you had a guy with a lot of talent who got a raw deal and CBS just let him go. I never really understood why no one ever picked him up.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy did have an incredible amount of talent.
Right.
But if you go to this website, it'll crack your ass up because
part
of the whole mystique about this cat is that he used to...
It's theater of the mind.
He used to keep his identity hidden.
Right.
You know, right? They used, for his publicity picture, he used to have just a question mark.
Right.
And even to the very end, it was like a big secret. It was like Wolfman Jack.
Right.
You can't see the guy doing the
show.
Can't
see the grease man.
Right. Well, you can see him now.
In his house.
It's funny.
Doing his show.
Doing it for the camera.
Yeah, it's borderline.
I would imagine Sergeant Fury just doesn't have the same punch when you're watching him do it.
You know what? It's borderline, because the guy's got talent.
Right.
It's borderline real funny, but then it's also borderline, like, sad funny.
Yeah. It's so bad it's good. It falls into that category.
We'll pull it up during the next break. I got the link from somebody like a month ago.
Because we all were entertained by him on the radio.
Senator Rob Buzzy, absolutely. You have the breaking news.
Yes, TMZ.com reports that Ike Turner, former husband of Tina Turner, is dead at the age of 76.
Safe home, Ike.
Ike Turner.
Who he?
Well, he'll be rolling on a river.
You just mentioned him yesterday on the show.
Yes, we did. Ike Turner.
How old?
76. 76. Think Tina will go to the funeral?
I don't know. Don and Mike show. I know his dad, Ted, will be there. Don and Mike show.
I couldn't find parking.
Hello.
Yeah, hey, the Grease Man, he's still on the radio.
No, he's not.
Yeah, I listen to him every night.
Really? Well, I had read a big, gigantic thing in the Washington Post.
If you're listening, it's probably repeats that you're listening.
Tapes.
No, I mean, I don't want to plug the radio station, but it's in Fredericksburg. It's just a small country station. He gets 1 hour a night.
I bet they're probably rerunning old tapes. That's the magic of the Grease Man, is that the shows that he's doing now could be the shows that he was doing 15 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, there was a big article about the fact that he was taking a hiatus. So they're probably running tapes.
But the cat.
I mean, is there anything? I'll ask you a question, sir. Anything on that 1 hour that you've listened to that would reference a specific time?
Not really. It's mostly stupid bitch.
Well, that's what they're doing, because he is taking a break.
Thank you.
But thank you for calling, and thank your doodads. Your nasty doodads.
Hi there, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, bad cell phone. What's happening?
Hey, sorry about that. I'm calling from Reno, Nevada.
Hey, what's happening?
Hey, that lady.
Hey.
Christy.
Hey.
Can you hear me?
Hey, yeah, hey.
Yeah, Christy.
Hey.
I believe her story.
Yeah,
But she's lying about the part. There's one more person she needed to say that she got the money from.
And you want us to ask who?
It'd be the state president, and she did not say that. So she's a liar.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks for that update from Reno.
All righty.
You have a happy holiday now.
Good job.
Yes, now go listen to yourself.
Glad the cell stayed together for that call.
Yeah. Well, you know, they're sandwiched between the mountains out there and the biggest little city in the world.
Hi there. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, I have a question about this enemas you guys are talking about.
Yeah.
Do you think that if you put food up your butt, it would reverse the process and you start taking craps out your mouth?
You know something? That'll be a question we'll have to leave for Mr. Science. We'll see if it happens.
It'd be like you'd be your own colander, almost.
No, actually, if you put food in there, you wouldn't get the nutrients of the food, because the food would not be able to digest properly.
Yeah, right. Isn't that whole deal a one-way street, you know, from your throat down to your stomach through the digestive tract?
Yeah, the stomach, the acidity, the acids in your stomach that break down the food.
You can't.
And then it goes into the bloodstream. You can't just expect that same process to happen if you, you know, put food up there.
You might as well put a butt plug up there.
Exactly. And you'd be very, very ill, and you would start to smell offensive.
Hi, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Really, really bad breath.
Hello.
Yeah, you there?
Yes, we are. Hi there.
How you doing? There was a story about a woman who gave her husband an alcohol enema, and the guy ended up dying.
I wish I'd mentioned that.
Gee, I wish Buzz had said that like 3 minutes ago.
Sorry. Thanks.
When you see news breaking, wait 24 hours. Then don't call. The Don and Mike Show.
He's not sorry at all.
We're here all day.
All day!
It's a shame that alcohol cannot be...
All day!
that can't be absorbed through the skin anywhere. You know, I mean, it's absorbed if you give yourself an enema, but like if you have aftershave on, wouldn't that be great? If not only did aftershave have different smells, but it had different buzz factors. Mm-hmm. You're getting ready to go out for the night and you just splash on. Hey, oh, I hate the smell of that. Hey, it doesn't matter. It gives me a really good buzz. I'm going to splash on a little absinthe going out for my evening.
You smell like licorice.
Woo!
Is that Sambuca you're wearing?
Thank you. You noticed. I know it's not my favorite, but when it's the holiday season.
Honey, we're going to a classy event. Do you have to put on your Miller Lite tonight?
Hi, I'm Mike O'Mara for Scotch. I like to put a little bit behind my ears. And boy, it really makes me feel all woozy.
Hello there. This is the Don and Mike Show. Hi.
Oops.
Hello. Don and Mike Show.
Yellow.
Yes, Don and Mike.
At your cervix.
Hey, that guy should have got disqualified yesterday answering that Alex Trebek question because he didn't form it in a question.
What?
You should be taken outside. A bag should be put over your head. And you should be shot.
Not even a cricket?
No, it was so bad it didn't even deserve the crickets.
Oh, crap.
Not even a bag.
Merry Christmas!
Right, same to you.
Bye.
Thanks for listening.
I don't even know what he was talking about. I know Alex Trebek had a heart attack,
yes.
And that was yesterday's show.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.